Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of NDB Media's Sports Talk with the guys, home of the Monday quarterbacks on Saturday.
How's it going, everyone? We haven't been there in a long time.
No, we haven't, Big Dog, and good morning to you. How are you this great and fine and glorious, exceptional Saturday morning?
Well, as a very intelligent man just told me, I'm alive.
Where'd you see him? At 7-Eleven?
No, that was Habib.
Oh, it was Habib? You know, when I was over at Coastal Community Hospital, yes, I'm going to put him on blast.
I was the PBX operator, and I was there for some time. So I made the announcements. I'm the one that called Code Blue and all that stuff. And, you know, and there was this one guy, I forget what his name was. Well, no, I don't forget what his name was, but it was just would rather not say.
No, I'm about to say it. And now forgetting it, but his name was Habib something or other. And I would always say,
something or other.
Oh, that joke's going to die right now. But I do want to welcome our third wheel this morning. I don't know if he has any guests with him or if he has some event to go to, but he's wide awake this morning. I want to welcome him in. How are you, Cash Potato?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm doing okay, seeing how the game went late last night, and I didn't get to bed until 2, but the wife, after she got done with work, rustled me up, and I realized it's 7:40, it's time to get up.
Well, I hear you there, man. Yeah, it is that time.
There's a thing in the middle.
Oh, so, Cat's Potato, do we have a game this Sunday?
Yes, we got a game Sunday. I called the game last night, to keep my play-calling skills up and ready to go. Texas Revolution taking on the Chicago Slaughter. And actually, last night I was writing a little bit, getting ready. I'm going to post a article about the game, kind of like a pregame article. Pretty important game for the Texas Revolution to get on track because I don't think they can ill afford to go 0-2 to start off the season. So.
Yeah, I know, Cash Potato, but I have to tell you that I still stand by my comment during the game. The offensive coordinator should be fired.
No, offensive, yeah, offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and for those of you that know and don't know, there is no offensive coordinator position on that team.
So then you're saying they should hire one to fire him.
Hell yeah! It'll make great news, Cash Potato.
See, me understanding the sense of humor as scorekeeper, I get that.
Yeah, but it's all right. You know, it's all good. It's all good in the hood.
Yeah.
It is good. I am looking forward to the event. Should be.
Yeah, it's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which is noon your time on Saturday. So to let you know. Yeah. Yeah, it's 2
today?
O'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So all the games are on in the afternoon on Sunday because it's St. Patty's Day.
Oh, so it is today then?
No, it's Sunday at 2 o'clock.
You have to listen into the first few minutes of this program, Sonny, to understand my paranoia.
Okay.
Yeah, because you said the games are on Saturday at 2 p.m., noon my time. I'm like, what, today?
Oh, no. It might still be a couple cobwebs and the cup of joe not getting to it. Sunday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
And I do want to say that the Big Dog brought me a Valentine's gift or a St. Patty's Day gift because it is in green. He got a cup of joe. What flavor is it?
This is the exclusive blend.
Thank God. Don't ever bring me Colombian again.
Well, I think it was old for a while because yours, the Colombian, only had like that much in the pot left. So.
Oh,
it was strongest. I know mine was very strong, too.
Oh, come on. That's where all the good stuff is, like the soot and everything.
Oh, well, there was no doubt. There was a lot of stuff in there. Oh, hey, well, it's all good in the hood. So, Mr. Couch Potato, how was the game that you called yesterday? Tell me about it.
Well, the Nebraska Danger, they take a fall to Tri-Cities last night. I don't like making excuses for the Nebraska Danger or a team that loses, but they played over in the Pacific time zone and they're not used to it. So the game wasn't the game did not get over until like 12:15. We went into overtime. So you know, I was tired. I can just imagine how the players were. So, but they started off very well, and then the Tri-Cities Fever just kicked it in gear and took advantage of some mistakes that the Danger were not able to take advantage of, some of the Fever's mistakes, and that was the difference in the game last night.
Now, Sonny, if I'm not mistaken, please remind me, the Tri-City Fever, weren't they in the championship game or in the playoffs or somewhere around there?
They were in the championship game. They have a new quarterback, however. Houston Lillard is not on that football team this year. Not even sure what he is doing, but they have a new quarterback that they're pretty satisfied with, as they are 1-1 now on the season. They lost their home, their season opener to Colorado, so it is what it is, I guess they say. In the indoor football league, but it was a pretty interesting game last night. And my friend Keithon Fleming, who actually we've had on our show, was an Allen Wrangler last year. Got hurt in the first game he played in. He rehabbed the whole season and then the whole off season, and he looks fresh as a ripe tomato. He looks really, really good.
Okay. Well, I don't know how to answer that, Couch Potato, because I like tomatoes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He looks really, really good.
Well, all righty then. Actually, Couch Potato, I have to tell you, your soliloquy right now on the entire league, it was very well done, Couch Potato. You filled us in on quite a few games, quite a bit of information. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we had our 2 minutes of the IFL right now.
Well, you know,
yep,
good.
Your segment's
you
know, over.
I didn't think it was over. I just said, darn good, Couch. No, I'm serious, dude. You filled us in with a lot of stuff. Really good stuff.
You know Couch can speak eloquently when he wants to.
I don't want to go there because I'm getting flashbacks to Vegas.
Potato
is an eloquent speaker. There's no doubt about it. But if you want all I'm beating Couch Potato. I mean, if you want the annoyances, you want the big, highfalutin words, that's me.
Mm-hmm. You want to keep it down to the norm, come to see me.
And then the big dog is the go-between. He is the translator.
I think I'm Norm. I think I'm Norm. You're Dr. Fraser Crane. I just got to figure out who Big Dog is in the Cheers comparative. Actually, no, I'm probably Woody.
We all think Woody. Well, he said he's Coach. Yeah.
Coach, yeah.
Well, that's good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. We're well on our way. I want to thank everyone for joining us this early morning. I got to say, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. We are having a good time. We are about to both inhale our first cup of Jill this morning. And how was it, Big Dog?
Much better. This is a different, like I said, it was more coffee this hot, so that's why.
I mean, I was going to tell you, don't even bother next time.
I know. I thought when you took that first drink last week, you were like, whoa.
And I can take all sorts of coffee. But
I tasted mine. I don't know if it was, maybe it was the cream was bad or.
That cream doesn't go bad. Oh, my goodness, significant difference. Yeah. So, Big Dog, you're like the Trojans, you know, bearing gifts or Spartans bearing gifts.
Well, you know, I'll bring my Trojan with me.
Well, he brought his coffee today.
Well, actually, Magnum, but we won't go there.
Well, I guess you won't, but anyway. What else did you bring? You brought the big bite or the taquitos to go. You also brought me a muffin.
And a coffee.
But what is this?
This is a bacon, egg, and cheese taquito.
Bacon, egg, and cheese taquito. What was that, Cat Potato?
What did I say?
Did you say something about engagement?
No. I've already forgot what I said. It was just a passing comment.
Yeah, Mad Cow all over again.
What did I say? Yeah, I got Mad Cow. What did I say?
Yeah, I don't know.
Come on now. That ain't even bullshit. That's horseshit.
That's the Inland Empire.
There you go.
That's the Inland Empire. Oh, good, Big Dog. Well, ladies and gentlemen of the nation, we are having a good time this morning, and we are going and blowing. Yes, I said it. Then he posted it to Twitter and Facebook, and oh, baby, it's gone. We are live. And the Big Dog is, I guess he's celebrating opening day or...
I decided to wear it.
You're like that gum, Big Red. You're wearing your Angels uniform, which is really nice. Do you have a number back there?
No, I never. I take that back. The Paul Gasol 16 is the only shirt/jersey that I have ever gotten that actually has a number to it. I usually never get a number or name.
Do you have Gasol on yours?
Yes.
Oh, really?
I have a Kareem jersey, but I don't wear that one. That one hangs.
Why not?
Oh,
Kareem,
well,
so cool.
Because that one hangs, he says. And I don't know if he meant, you know,
on the wall,
hanging, you know, as in Skyhook, or if he's into strangling himself in his closet. I don't know.
I cannot believe that Kareem actually is going to be on that new TV show on ABC, Splash. What's he going to be?
Is he hurting for that much? Is he hurting for money or just that much of people to know who he still is? What is going on with that?
I don't know, but it really surprised me. I mean, because he, you know, the last, you know, 5 years or so, he's been making lots and lots of appearances. But to see him in this one, you know, he's with Kendra Wilkinson, you know, the Playboy fame, along with Louis Anderson, who I can't believe they got to go swimming, and a couple others. It's going to be interesting. The premise of the show, Scorekeeper, in case you didn't know, which by the look you don't, they assembled about, looks like 8 to 10 stars or former stars, current stars, and Greg Louganis and some other Olympic diver will attempt to teach them all to dive off the 3-meter platform. And, of course, 3 meters is...
90 feet.
Okay, 30-meter platform, sorry, which, of course, is 90 feet, or it's a 3-story platform.
Oh, my God, that's
so
a lot.
I guess it would be a 10-meter platform then.
Yeah.
So they will attempt to teach them to each be able to dive or jump off of it, you know, eloquently, I guess. And the show goes through that. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It premieres, I think, next week or the week after.
Hell,
man, when you think of Kareem, don't you think of greatness? I mean, you don't think of half-ass reality shows when you think about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, do you? I mean, really?
That is so very, very true.
I just want to know, is Kareem going to wear, you know, like one of those Speedos thingy?
No, they all seem to be wearing one piece suits.
Okay, then that means that Betty White can go for it, too.
Well, they should, of course,
probably get better ratings.
That would be funny, seeing Betty White do that. But anyways, lots of stuff going on in sports. Football's going crazy right now with signings and trades and every other damn thing going on.
Yeah, I know, but hey, guys, the Buffalo Bills.
The Yankees are trolling.
Yeah, they're trolling. The Buffalo Bills let go of someone by the name of Fitzpatrick, did they not? That was a shock, Couch Potato. Did you hear about that?
Oh, I heard about it, and if you get on my Facebook feed, I said there's one team that could use a Ryan Fitzpatrick very, very much, and it's right over there in California.
The Chargers?
No, the Oakland Raiders.
I know.
The Oakland Raiders. There are only so many quarterbacks that were going to be available. And I'm not saying Fitzpatrick is the next coming of the next big thing at the quarterback position for Oakland, but it's sure far better than Carson Palmer has been for the last 2 years. And you'll get at least some wins underneath your belt. I think it all started when they got rid of Tom Cable. That was the problem with that football team in the first place. Take away from that, and then they lose a quarterback situation that they got going on that they you know, God, it's just awful. And the Raiders don't have any kind of identity right now, and that's one of the big problems. And I think Fitzpatrick would fit into that mold pretty well for the Raiders.
But he might be a little too smart for the Raiders, sir.
Well, they're going to waste their number 3 pick. Remember, don't forget that on that college kid.
Pryor?
No, they already wasted that one.
Oh, you mean okay. All right, so go after one of the ones coming out of college right now. I don't like any of them really, to be honest. I mean, Fitzpatrick at least has got some games underneath his belt, and they could probably get him for a halfway decent price instead of the $13 million they're supposed to pay Carson Palmer this year. You know, they really need to go after him. But they're in contention with the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals need a quarterback. And last I heard the rumor was that they were giving Carson Palmer a very serious look. But I think they changed their attention when Fitzpatrick became available away from him, which I'm hoping that's the case, at least for Cardinal fans anyway.
Yeah, well, of course, Fitzpatrick was in the middle of a 6-year, $59 million contract extension that he signed October 2011. Had he been on the roster, I believe it was as of Friday, he would have been due a $3 million bonus. Of course, as you said, they cut him loose. He has been inconsistent, I guess would be a nice way of saying it, these last 2 years.
That's a nice way of saying he sucked.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Cosh Potato, please clarify that. Does he suck or does he sucky suck?
No, he's a good football player. They need to figure out a way to protect him, give him a couple more than 1 second to throw the football in the pocket.
Oh, so you're saying that the Buffalo is another version of the Chicago Bears?
Or the Arizona Cardinals offensive line, yes.
Wait a minute. Arizona, oh my God. Okay, go ahead, Big Dog.
Well, no, I mean, they suck since he left.
Oh, was he your guy?
Oh, yeah. You can't.
Just like Steve Young was my guy.
Yeah. Speaking of the Cardinals released Kevin Cobb. So they do not have one right now. They're going with, Drew Stratton. Excuse me, Drew Stanton.
Just in Arizona Cardinal fashion.
Signed a 3-year contract with them. Had Kevin Cobb been on the roster as of yesterday, he would have been due a $2 million bonus on top of his $9 million salary.
Yep.
So, and of course, saying he was inconsistent is a joke, Kevin Cobb. He was consistent in being a loser, I'll give him that.
Well, he's consistent in not being healthy and being in the lineup.
Hey, wait a minute, Big Dog. I want you to reconsider what you just said. You sound like you were mocking him.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Hey, good morning, Coffee. How you doing? I like his line this early in the morning. The only quarterback who sucks worse than Carson Palmer is. I think you need to think about that one, Coffee, but I still like it. The one that sucks worse than Carson Palmer?
Samantha Tebow?
Yeah, Samantha Tebow. I like it.
I liked it.
Good. I liked it. There you go, Coffee. Good morning.
And, of course, Matt Castle's off the market. He's already been picked up by the Vikings.
Great
that
move.
Was, if I were a Viking fan, I would throw up.
He signed a 1-year, $4 million contract with the Vikings.
Oh, man, I now have, super, super laxative throw up.
And he will compete for the starting job, it says.
Oh, my God. Now I'm letting loose on both ends.
Now you got to throw up and puke all over. No, he's definitely the backup quarterback. I think they're just saying that just to make him feel better. But let's be honest, no one who's – I mean, Christian Ponder last year, he may not have been the best thing in the world, but he sure in the hell wasn't the worst, and he was far better than anything – that Castle put up for the last 2 years. So I don't think that's even a threat, really.
Speaking of the Vikings, what did you think about Percy Harvin going to Seattle?
I was couch potato. What do you think about that? I'm generally surprised.
I was shocked.
Seattle, yeah, I was shocked at that. But Seattle made several signings, didn't they? Not only Percy Harvin, but go ahead, couch potato.
Well, Seattle was very busy. I think it's a good move for them because really they didn't have a wide receiver at all on that football team. I mean, if you really think about it, there was no one really to throw the football to, no go-to guy, no guy that, you know, puts fear in too many defenses out there. Percy Harvin is a guy that will do that. Now, the main thing about that is that guy's got to stay healthy in order to help the Seahawks, but it's a good move for them, I think.
Yeah, you know, they're going to have a pretty good offense. I mean, they got quarterback, of course, Russell Wilson. They have Rice. They have Marshawn Lynch, Golden Tate, Zach Miller, and Doug Baldwin to go along now with Percy Harvin. So, going to see probably some more high-scoring games like we saw last year.
Yeah, I like the move.
I like the move for him. Minnesota. I think they've just grown weary or tired of his shtick in reality up there. So that's the reason why they let him go. So. I think it's a mistake, and I think if Cuervo joins the program, he'll probably think the same thing.
Yeah, they got him pretty cheap, I guess you would say. It cost them their first round pick for this year, which is number 25, along with one of three seventh round selections and a third round pick in 2014. They got him for Harvin.
Wow. Okay.
And, of course, the other big trade was Baltimore, who is evidently, going to the Mark Cuban school of thinking when you win a championship.
Oh.
Dismantle the team.
Oh.
Because Anquan Boldin, their main guy that caught all those catches in the postseason, was, of course, traded to the San Francisco 49ers.
Wow. Congratulations.
To him, yeah.
Happy trails to you.
Yeah. So, what do you think about that one, Couch?
I think it was the right move.
Really?
I think you have an aging wide receiver, which is number one. Now, he did good in the playoffs. I'm not going to deny that. But you have an aging wide receiver, and not only that, he's got the worst attitude in the world in reality. He thinks that he's the number one wide receiver, and he sure flaunts his stuff like it is. I think it was a good move for this football team. Now, I'm not saying that Anquan Boldin doesn't have talent. Don't get me wrong. But there is a time and a place that you're going to put up with BS. And I don't think if you're the Ravens, you're putting up with Anquan Boldin's BS.
True, but, I mean, what do you think about the Ravens are doing right now? I mean, they're losing pretty much everybody either by trade or by free agency. And it seems like they really don't seem to care. It seems like, as I said, you know, they're going by Mark Cuban's way of after you win a championship, you just kind of, you know, either sign people to one-year contracts or just let them go.
I think what is going on here is that there's only a window of opportunity for so much for so many people and so many teams. Now, I think this really does go into thinking of some of the players. I really do. But it's hard to repeat the Super Bowl champions in the NFL. I mean, it's so hard. I cannot imagine, you know, the days of the Denver Broncos winning two in a row or the Patriots winning two in a row. I think those days are almost gone. And I think most players know that as well. I mean, it's a different league than it was, heck, even just 4 or 5 years ago, never mind right now. So I think some of these players are realizing that the fact that even though you got a franchise quarterback that you have in Joe Flacco, the chances of them repeating the Super Bowl champions, I don't think are there. But here's what I will say. Ozzie Newsome, that guy knows how to run a personnel over there in Baltimore. He knows how to do it. He's really good. I mean, just look at the history that this guy's brought to that football team. And never mind, you know, just within the fact that the last 5 years with Joe Flacco, they've at least won playoff games, which is pretty amazing, especially seeing how Flacco was only a rookie when he took over the reins over there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I can see what you're saying.
I don't know if you also saw Wes Welker.
No, I did.
Wes Welker went to Denver, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
That one genuinely surprised me.
Why? Why would it be a surprise? They sat him in the first quarter of the season last year, hoping that someone else would step up and take over the reins once they realized they didn't do it and they're still paying Welker. They figured, why not put him in the lineup? Now they just won't be able to fall back to him like they did last year. I mean, you know, look at Welker. I mean, they were sitting Welker the first four games of the season. It wasn't because he was hurt. They were trying to experiment with somebody else, and that didn't work. And once they realized that wasn't going to work, they went back to Welker, and they started winning football games.
Yeah. And, you know, adding to that, I mean, it's not bad. You go from Tom Brady to Peyton Manning. It's one hell of a switch. I mean, you're not going to miss much on that one.
The only other two that he could have went to, you know, just as equal, you know, obviously down in New Orleans with Drew Brees or going up to Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, going from one elite quarterback to another, that's the way to go if you're Welker.
And not only that, but on top of that, he gets a 2-year, $12 million contract, and he also gets $150,000 in incentives for each year that he catches 90 passes or more. Of course, it says the Tennessees were also pursuing him, didn't get him, of course. But the Patriots responded quickly by Welker's loss by agreeing in principle to a 5-year, $31 million deal, including $10 million guaranteed with St. Louis wide receiver Danny Amendola.
Yeah.
So
I think it's a loss. I mean, look at Amendola. The guy can't stay healthy. The guy has been a health monster. You know, for the last 3 years, you know, unless they can figure out how to keep that guy healthy, first of all, that contract's ridiculous. I mean, he's not. Yeah. I mean, he's not that good. I mean, hold on. He is that good. If he's healthy, he's a good wide receiver. But when you are figuring out your contract, you got to realize if you are an owner of a team that this guy is going to be on the field only 70% of the time at best. And usually it'll be around the end of the season when they definitely need him. You watch.
Yeah, that's true. And speaking of the Broncos, Elvis has left the building.
Oh, no.
Yes.
What do you mean?
Elvis Dumerville. Which, of course, is one of the best names in the business.
Dumerville.
Screwed up. He and his agent screwed up. As Denver, wanted to keep him, but he was going to be earning $12 million. And he did not want to restructure his contract. Said, no, I don't want to restructure. So the Broncos decided to get ready to release him. The deadline was 4 p.m. Eastern time. At about 3:35 Eastern time, his agent called and said, you know what, we'll restructure the contract after all. He'll stay for $8 million a year. They went, they tried to restructure the contract, they sent it via fax, he signed it, sent it back to the Broncos, and it got to the Broncos at 4:06 Eastern time, which is past, the time for, it had to do with the payroll limit that they would be taxed on there, being over the limit, so they released him. So by 6 minutes, he's out of a job. He's not going to be out of a job for long, of course.
I'm genuinely surprised that that rule applies, because I understand that in baseball, as long as there's an agreed deal in place that both teams agree to, that it's okay if the paperwork is still in transit.
Not in football, no. In football, it has to be back, signed by the player back with the team by whatever the deadline was. Yeah, and that was what the deadline was. And
I mean, who the hell's going to audit them at 4?
well, I guess because it was faxed, and they said that
there's so many ways around that.
His agent said
representatives of the NFL are right there in their offices at that time, either in each and every team, representatives on the NFL, to make sure that that rule does apply and it is on file.
His agent said that Elvis...
There's still ways to get around that.
Elvis was there in his office, and then as soon as it came through, he signed it and sent it right back, but it took too long.
All you had to do was sign that one page. Bunch of idiots.
Man, they should have done it by email.
I put this all on Elvis's agent, on the Elvis side, because the Broncos originally had the deal. This was the original deal that he turned down.
What is the name of the agent if the player is Elvis Stumberville?
Yeah, who knows? But
was the name like Nancy Puckett or something?
Let me see if it says his name here.
I just put him on blast.
It doesn't say his name, but it says that, you know, as I said, the contract was not filed with the league office in time on Friday. It said, of course, he had signed a six-year, $61.5 million contract in 2010, but they wanted to restructure that, and he had at first said no way, and then I guess had a change of heart, realizing that how the team was going to be structured, you know, they have a pretty good chance for a Super Bowl shot, so wanted to go back with the team, and he screwed up. And John Elway gave a statement saying, hey, you know what, at 1 o'clock we gave him the offer, and he turned it down, so then we were doing the paperwork to release him, and then we get a call a half hour beforehand, and he said the Broncos management had a problem thinking that there was not enough time, and we were assured by his agent that there would be enough time, so we went out and sent it, and it came back too late, so we have to release him. And it says, because of the luxury tax penalties that will be now associated with this, they're pretty sure that they won't. It is a less than 50% chance that they won't sign him again.
Let me tell you, Coffey is in love with the fact that he would be great opposite, I believe he said, Jared Allen, right, as a Minnesota Viking. Your thoughts on that, Couch Potato?
He'd be very well anywhere. But I'm going to tell you, Doomerville would be good for any football team, but I'm going to tell you, John Elway had a problem with this guy even dumping down to 8, and I think the simple fact Conspiracy Couch is going to show his head. I think John Elway wasn't very happy with Doomerville in the first place, and the fact that he called made him feel good for a moment. I think that was all John Elway. That's just my personal opinion. John Elway's a prick.
Okay, well, yeah. Did you say Dimmerville or Dumberville?
Doomerville.
Or Doomerville.
Elvis.
Yeah, his name is Elvis.
And were you surprised with the Eagles cutting Nnamdi Azikiwe?
Woo! I know.
If you don't have your nose in the book, books there, you know, scorekeeper. He's a pretty, I'm not surprised, demanding too much money, but he'll find another football team.
Yeah, he was scheduled to make $15 million this year.
Raiders cut him, right?
No, this is Eagles. He used to be the Raiders.
Yeah.
He signed an outrageous contract with them, and he's underperformed. He signed a 5-year, $60 million contract just 2 years ago. Actually,
they overpaid
last year.
For him. They overpaid for him.
And he was a three-time Pro Bowler from 2003 to 2010 with the Raiders. Of course, as I said, went away, signed that massive contract, and just has not performed for them, so they cut him. I wasn't surprised. We'll see where he will. Of course, he will land somewhere else also. Someone will give him a contract, not that kind of money, but he will get a decent contract.
If they sign Flacco to that kind of money, there are idiots out there that will sign this guy to a lot of money, too.
Yeah, but
just one
yeah.
down year.
Yeah, but Flacco, no, he's got more than one down year. He's got two down years.
No, but he was just signed to a big deal.
In 2010. So
okay,
2010.
All right.
Well, his guaranteed money, Big Dog, if I'm not mistaken, was only $17.5 million. So that's the guaranteed money. They got 2 years for $17 million for the guy. Really, in reality, for that time, you know, if you think about it, that was not the worst signing in the world. See, that's why the Joe Flacco deal, you know, the worst thing, you know, in that, you know, that's a big contract. But the guaranteed money is only, you know, I forget how much the guaranteed money, but it's nowhere close to $120 million. I think the guaranteed money is $42 million, and Flacco's worth $42 million for the next 2 years. So, and if they want to bail out of that contract, they can do so.
I bet you they're not going to bail out of it.
So 2 years, $42 million.
I bet you they're not either.
$21 million?
Yeah, they're saying $21 million.
Now, guys, can we go back to the New England Patriots stuff? Thank you. Since they signed that receiver for that much money, don't they have a problem with some guy by the name of Hernandez up there? He's been saying that, like, he's a number one or something, and now there's some issues up there. Knowing that Wes Welker's gone and Hernandez was still there, but now that they got this other guy, what's that going to mean in that situation? And that's a very heavy, heavy question for Couch Potato.
Well, it's not Hernandez. It's the other guy. Gronkowski is the one that has the problem as far as the contract, what he says he's worth compared to somebody else. However, Gronkowski is a wide receiver. I mean, he's just playing the tight end position. But he's their, really, if you think about it, he's their number one, number two. Without Welker, that's a hit. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work out. I usually trust Bill Belichick, but I've lately have lost a lot of trust in what Bill Belichick has been doing as a general manager. Forget about head coach, but Belichick is in control of the general managing as well up there. I've lost confidence in his ability to really put together a good football team.
Yep. Well, you know, how are you feeling about them signing Adrian Wilson?
Who signed Adrian Wilson?
The Pats.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great signing and a big loss for the Cardinals.
Yeah, he was released, of course, earlier this month. The Cardinals released him after 12 seasons with the team. He's only 33 years old, so he's on the tail end of his prime years, but he's still, you know, he's still an effective safety.
He's on butt end of his prime years, dude. That's the butt end.
Well, he played 15 games of the 16 with the Cardinals last year. He finished with 54 tackles and one interception and one forced fumble.
Okay.
Not bad for a 33-year-old.
No, it's not bad. And speaking of that, I want to continue. I'd like to bring him in early this morning. He is from the East Coast. I don't know what that sound is on his phone. But alrighty, he's from the South, damn it, where there's a bunch of mosquitoes and a bunch of bayous and stuff. I want to bring him on. His name is Bright Bright.
Hey, guys, is my phone making noise?
Oh, you're okay now. I don't know what you were doing. That's different. See, you were doing something. Oh, you're not.
I'll tell you this. I was driving, and I didn't have both hands on the wheel. Okay.
Were you multitasking?
Well, I'm cleaning my keyboard, so maybe the noise you're hearing is actually from me.
Oh, that's funny.
Hey, Couch, I've never heard it put that way, that you were cleaning your keyboard.
Yeah, no.
Geez, you never realize how dirty it is until you actually look at it.
I don't know about that.
I hope that's not what she said.
Yeah, look, I'm my keyboard.
Yeah, you're actually thinking keyboard. I'm not.
Oh, no, I know. But, I mean, but look at the keyboard. I'm pretty anal about it, aren't I?
Yeah, no comment. The way I'm thinking right now.
I know, you're right. But hey. I know, yes. Hey, Bri, he's getting the best of us right now. Tell me, Big Dog, how's the office looking now?
Save us, Bri.
Those should go, so I'll take those with me as I'm leaving.
Oh, you want to take the Battlestar Galactica DVD? Well, you know they're on Netflix. Okay.
Is that the same? What the hell was that?
I don't know. I think I got some of that stuff on me.
Oh, no, you had
flakes
on me.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't want to say
anything. I had issues, sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, I'm depressed.
Better hide your Princess Leia.
She may have already been taken. I've had a lot of kids come over lately. Sorry about that. Okay. Oh, he's not looking at my action figures. You know if there are no females? Big Dog? Oh, except for Galadriel over there. But she's a stiffy.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah. Anyway, so Brian, you heard our conversation about the New England Patriots. I said it was Hernandez, but apparently Couch Potato says it's Gronkowski. Them signing that wide receiver for 5 years, $30 million. I don't know what the guy's name is, you know.
Amadello.
It wasn't Duper. I'm sorry?
Amadello.
He's from
Amadello.
The Rams, right?
Yeah,
he's
from the Rams.
Okay. hey, if I'm the Patriots, I know Gronkowski, I know the Patriots don't like to pay a lot of money, so I'm going to keep Hernandez, and I'm going to let Gronkowski hit the door. I think Hernandez has a lot of upside to it, but both are phenomenal. I mean, Gronkowski's the best right now, but you're going to have to pay a lot of money to get him. But, man, I'm still disappointed the Patriots let Walker go. I mean, that just killed their offense. The third down is so important for New England, and now who are they going to go to on third down? It's a big deal losing Walker, guys.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it is. All right.
Especially
well,
to the Broncos. Especially to the Broncos. I mean, the Broncos are now favored to win the Super Bowl, I mean, in my opinion. But we'll see.
As a matter of fact, Coffee says, I wouldn't even give Flacco $20 million for 2 years in a video game. Being Massachusetts don't deserve.
That's funny. Oh, man, I guess he's anti-Flacco. But so is Couch Potato, aren't you? You're anti-Flacco?
No. That's Bri.
hey, guys, I have a question for you about this, if y'all don't mind. We're going back to the Raiders, and I know Sonny said Fitzpatrick, but what do you think about Terrell Pryor in Oakland? Do you think he's ever going to crack the starting lineup and be an effective quarterback?
When you can't crack the starting lineup with as bad as Carson Palmer was playing when they had nothing on the line, that tells you how much they feel about Pryor.
Yeah.
Whoa, wait a minute. They have deliberately kept him on the sidelines, and they gave him the last game of the season to start.
Whoop-dee-doo.
And I thought he did okay.
That's what he's saying. He said, if you can't even crack the lineup, playing as bad as they did with Carson Palmer.
But they never had any intention to go to Terrell Pryor,
which I still don't think they do.
I don't think they do either, but if the guy had a chance, don't you think when this team was maybe at about week 14 with no shot at the playoffs whatsoever, they would have put him in the lineup? I mean,
yeah.
If they were going to consider this guy for the future at all, we would have seen this guy at week 14.
I agree. Well, they paid him an incredible amount of money to just start one game.
The Raiders have paid an incredible amount of money to a lot of people that don't deserve it.
Jamarcus
Russell?
Yeah, Jamarcus. Jaakus Russell. You like that one? Jaakus? No?
No.
You don't like that? Bri, did you like that one?
Oh, I did. I'll tell you a good quarterback for the Raiders. I'll never get him, though. And I mean, I think he'd fit him good, Cam Newton. I just think he'd look good in that gold or that silver uniform there. That helped.
You know, look, I like Cam Newton. I sure as hell don't have that much of a love affair as you do, dude.
Hey, man,
oh,
hey,
that's
look,
right.
Look, I'm 36 years old. He gave us our first national championship. Of course, I'm gonna have a love affair with him.
He's got a love affair.
Yeah.
But really,
well,
I'm gonna
like him and pull for him. I don't care if he's playing for Russia. I'm going to pull for it over any other team.
Yeah, frickin' commie.
But if you look at the Raiders, okay, if I'm going to put the GM hat on top of my head, and I've said this before, there are only four available quarterbacks that were worth the snot if you're going to grab them. One, in Dallas, where they don't seem very happy with Tony Romo, I would be on the phone with Dallas. Also, in Chicago, they hate Jay Cutler, but that's about the only thing they got. But that's a guy that you could possibly get. The other one was Fitzpatrick, who was released in reality. So you when you take a look at that whole situation, I think that's, you know, it's a good situation for Oakland, but there's one more other guy that they needed to go after as far as the Oakland Raiders were concerned. And but there were only four other, quarterbacks that possibly could have been gotten, and move away that are considered franchise quarterbacks. And the other one, I think San Diego would get rid of Phillip Rivers for the right price. They just don't seem very satisfied with him. So if you're Oakland, it's time to be proactive instead of sitting back, because they're not going to get a decent quarterback in this draft. That's not going to happen. So if you're Oakland, you're going to have to figure out what's going to keep your team afloat for the next 3 years out there. So Fitzpatrick now is available. So they really need to go after Fitzpatrick as far as quarterbacks are concerned in the NFL right now.
But Sonny, that's a problem, don't you think, trying to go to some lower-tier quarterback to to turn your team around in a way. I think they need to draft better. And I mean, you could put the players on Denver on Oakland, and it still sucks.
Well,
it seems like that's what the Oakland Raiders do best, is they choke and they screw up drafts and they just suck. So I don't think Fitzpatrick's going to be somebody that's going to come and get them into the playoffs, do you?
Well, he's going to be better than any of the rookies that are coming out of the draft there, boss. I'm telling you.
I agree.
Yeah, you know, and also look at the division he was playing in. He was playing in a division where they were going up against the Patriots every year. The Jets, you know, they were looking good 2 years with Sanchez. Now 2 years removed from that, not great. Miami's trying to move forward with Tannehill as a franchise quarterback. Now he moves over. If the Oakland Raiders grab him up, he moves over to AFC West. Really, the only team in that division they got to worry about is Denver. So, you know, they put themselves at least in a position to at least play better than they've had in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I agree. The quarterbacks suck coming out of the draft, guys. I don't see anybody really making an impact upon anyone that's going to come in the draft.
I don't see any quote-unquote franchise quarterbacks, that's for sure.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I do want to acknowledge that Thanks, AJ. AJ's going wild on Facebook. But, ladies and gentlemen, I do want to apologize to Matt, because Matt joined us early this morning. Thanks for joining us, Matt. You know, he is the star of our Friday 1 p.m. program here on NDB Media. He's got the impression that we're talking behind his back, because we're talking about the Raiders.
We are.
So, Matt, you're always welcome to join us, Matt. You know what to do. But it is great to see Matt this early in the morning. We are having some quality time with the Raiders. Conspiracy Couch believes that the Raiders ended their...
Isn't that an oxymoron, quality time and Raiders? I'm the fan.
And I'm the Raider fan, too. And so is Matt. You notice, Matt, think about it. Think who was ripping the Raiders. It was Couchy Couch and Bri-Bri.
Speaking of ripping...
Oh, come on. Like the Raiders don't deserve to be bashed on. My God. They've been... They suck.
At least we don't have Tony Romo.
Well, hey, you know what, though? Tony Romo at least, you know, waits until week 17 to try to make the playoffs, unlike the Raiders, who haven't even been, you know, in that position to even make the playoffs since they lost Tom Cable.
Boom! Yeah, I guess that was a booyah for you guys.
Hey, but that's by any means, that's not an endorsement on Tony Romo. It's just a shot at the Raiders.
Yeah, well, it's okay, Sonny. I won't take it personally because I know you're a big Dallas Cowboys fan.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
And deep down, secretly, you have a man crush on Tony Romo.
I forgot to mention that I got a hold of the Examiner and I've relinquished my Dallas Cowboys writing because I was looking at my articles for the last 3 years I've been writing for the Examiner, and every year I'm writing the same thing. That tells you a little bit about the football team, but I need some variety. I need to probably start writing for the Oakland Raiders, for crying out loud.
Abrams.
That's actually rather funny, Sonny. And hold on one moment. I'm being asked on how to spell something so I can get slammed on Facebook. Do you think I should help him? Okay,
not.
Big dog. The name is Abrams. A-B-R...
A-B-R-H-A-N.
Yeah, I'm sorry, what was that?
A-B-R-H-A-N. What is it, Abrams?
H-A-M-B.
Yeah, Abrams. As
A-B-R.
A-B-R. H-A-M. H-A-M-S, yep.
Yeah, all I've got to say is he's Jar Jar, so it's okay. Jar Jar Abrams. It's okay. I said it publicly. There it is.
Right.
Yeah, okay, well, anyway, I'm probably going to be slamming on air. So okay. I want to welcome all the guests this early in the morning. Ladies and gentlemen, it is 6:49 a.m. on the Pacific Coast. We, the big dog, and I are joined by Couch Potato and Bri from the southeast or the south, whatever. And we're having a great conversation this early in the morning. We're going over some football.
You're wrong.
There's still a lot of what?
As I said, there is no Asian Abrams. I just looked it up real quick.
So I don't care. His name is Jar Jar.
Well, that's fine. Then they're going to spell it
right. I don't have to know how to spell certain things that I don't like correctly. I don't use it. I don't hence. I will not spell it correctly. You're the one that asked, and they all spelled it incorrectly as well.
That is true. And
his name is Jar Jar.
Man, that's one clean keyboard.
What do you mean?
I cleaned my keyboard. Man, I'm telling you, it's like brand new.
Oh, you suck, big dog. You just suck.
It's a funny caption.
Yeah, it's a funny caption. Way to go, sweetheart. Thank you.
All right, guys, check out Facebook. Roger, picture of the week is up. We're going back to it.
I see it. Number one, Peter Gamma puts it up. He's on my... Oh, my God. Oh, my word. Is that Luke Picard on all fours?
You know why he does... On all fours, yes. Yes.
What?
Make it so. I deserved a high five. Thank you, Big Dog.
That was nice.
Brian's all quiet because he's not at a computer right now. Don't worry, Brian. You'll get disgusted when you get home.
let's just say
action figures weren't meant to be in this kind of action.
Well, you know, it's just a picture of Star Wars over Star Trek because, you know, Mr. Abrams is, of course, doing Star Wars, you know, and Star Trek, but...
Whatever.
Who did that?
Whatever.
You, Big Dog? Did you
do that? I'm sorry?
Are you the guilty party you did that?
Oh, yeah, like I did that.
Storekeeper requested from me months ago to do these pictures, and I, you know, I told him I would take the blame, no problem.
Warning. You've obviously mistaken me for someone who did the damn.
Yeah, let's use this one, Big Dog.
You're screwed. Don't waste my time.
Yeah, there it is. So we used all three buttons. We hadn't used them for a while,
that's
ladies
right.
and gentlemen. So we are entering the next, we're still not there yet. Ladies and gentlemen, I do want to welcome our audience because they have no other choice. Because we have kicked the crap out of everyone who's been on Saturday morning. We have people come and go against us on this time slot, and they win.
And we persevere.
They came and they win. Week after week, other programs come up against us at 6 a.m., and those schmoes are gone. Even the legend used to be on for 2 hours, and he's bailing because there's no audience. I love it. There have been some other big programs that have been opposite us for the last few weeks, and they're gone. Because we have the audience. Because we can kill the brain cells. Because we do it correctly. Our audience
are
zombies.
Yeah, you do it in a fun way.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. I never thought that we would be the monster on Saturday morning. No one dares go against us.
Big Dog, I actually set an alarm to make sure I could be here on Saturday mornings. And you know, I don't get an opportunity to sleep in. I sleep in on Sundays now. You know, I don't sleep in on Saturday. I'm here to be listen to your show. It's good stuff, and that's the reason why you're killing the competition.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, Big Dog. Did you notice? He told you, not me. He said, hey, Big Dog, I set up my alarm this early in the morning.
Did I say that?
Yeah, several times.
Freudian slip.
Freudian slip.
Freudian slip.
Yeah, we're having a good time this morning. We have a lot of stuff. I always know we have a lot of news left because the Big Dog will joke, and then he'll pick up his paper notes. I'm like, all right, I'm sorry. We have additional news to get to. And I ripped him last week for that, too. And, oh, we got news. Every time the Big Dog picks up his notes, it's like, all right, calm down. Let's get back to business. Go ahead, Big Dog.
All right, guys, I've got to let you go. I've got to umpire some softball games today, so I just pulled up to the field. I have to be over there in about 15 minutes. So, great show.
Brian,
until this game starts.
You go make the Quan, dude. That's what you're supposed to do.
Brian, I have a quick question before you leave. Are you do you have a pitcher strike zone or do you have a batter strike zone?
I have my strike zone. it all depends on how fast I want to get out of there, you know. I call this is going to be high school, but I mean it's great to have great pitchers in this, but if your catcher sucks, I'm in for a beating today. So if I'm getting beat up behind the plate, then I'm going to call everything a strike just to get out of there. So
get him out of there. Oh, that's good. Brian, have fun. Let us know how it went. And that is Bri from over there in Georgia. Big stuff. Cam Newton fan, as am I. So it's all good.
And an Oakland Raiders fan. Oakland Raiders fan. All right,
Brian. Have a good one.
No, it's Bri.
All right, see y'all.
Yeah, Bri. Talk to you later.
Bri.
That's you.
That's Bri.
That's your special name for him.
And actually, there were a few people that were calling him Bri now in his program in the chat room, and now they were calling me Raji. I'm like, oh, God. I thought that was kind of funny. So they were starting to slam me on his behalf. That was good. Oh, my goodness.
So much love for Bri.
Oh, yes, indeed. And Matt Alvarez, I want to congratulate you on air. Yes, your audience is exploding on Friday. We are thrilled beyond belief, and we are just absolutely thrilled, as our audience is exploding too. Ever since we made a featured, which was a long time in coming, damn it, our audience numbers have just exploded, and we are incredibly happy. We want to thank everyone. We do have a programming note before we go into the next hour. Ladies and gentlemen, NDB Media 3 and NDB Media will be consolidated effective on or about April 1st. That is not a pre-April Fool's joke either. So the three premium channels that NDB Media has right now will be consolidating into two premium channels. What the hell is that, Big Dog?
Nothing.
What kind of music are you trying to get?
Nothing.
Do you have Barney on your phone now?
Nope.
How about the Teletubbies? Do you want to put the Teletubbies on?
Oh, never like the Teletubbies.
Why?
They're
what?
Never like them.
Oh, okay.
I didn't like the Teletubbies.
I know, I didn't either.
And luckily the kids never liked them either.
Yeah, I know. I'm relieved as well.
Yeah.
Oh, really? They never saw Teletubbies?
They watched them once or twice, but they didn't like it. Sorry.
Didn't they say the purple Teletubby was gay and it caused all kind of controversy?
That's what was said.
Well, everything was fine until someone said that.
That's true.
Yeah.
It was funny. There was nothing about the Teletubbies until someone said, hey, that purple one's gay, isn't it?
Man, you guys are asking for it.
I'm not asking for it. The Big Dog is. And the Big Dog is dancing.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, Matt. Big Dog's bigger than I am.
Alvarez is going to do a Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's going to open up a can of whoop-ass on you guys.
I want to see that can of whoop-ass because the Big Dog is bigger than I am. I couldn't go to the Big Dog.
Well, we definitely need to invite him to Vegas when we go to Vegas.
I don't know. We got to get him out there, man. That's just the way it is. We're going to have to get him out. And, you know, we're going to have to get an adult to pick him up at the airport.
Oh, unaccompanied minor. You guys are horrible.
Matt would answer this one. Because, you know, we made fun of the Barney thing, but Matt, of course, answered the Teletubby question. He said, Teletubby, yes, the purple one was gay and the child offender.
Wait a minute. Are we talking about Sesame Street now or something like that?
Wasn't Elmo. Anyway. Didn't they have some kind of problem with Elmo, the guy who plays Elmo?
Well, yes. One of them, yeah, but that was Red. So I guess Red. Ooh, I was about to say something, but
no, the guy who does Elmo, the big black dude that does the Elmo voice, I think he had some kind of thing. Now Elmo's retiring, actually.
Several times. But it's okay, they're just accusations, as Michael Jackson proved.
Well, I don't think he's going to be doing the voice of Elmo anymore.
No, he's gone.
He was fired last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well,
Elmo dies, or did someone just take over his voice?
I don't know. I don't watch it. Buddy.
I watch that. My kids are way too old for that.
Yeah. Do your kids watch it?
No, but I saw a picture of that. Well, I saw a picture of the guy who does the voice for Elmo, and it's a big 6'5" black dude that does the voice for Elmo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, every time you call the 976 line, I've understood. The females.
Yeah. I like that one.
The females are done by male voices,
or by 60-something-year-old women.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter what you look like.
How did you know that?
What you sound like? Because I've seen documentaries. They do a lot of.
You've seen documentaries on it.
Watch the History Channel.
No, I don't. I don't watch that. I only watch it for good stuff, like building an empire or stuff like that.
Oh, it's very educational.
Speaking of educational, my daughter has to do a report on like 20th century dictators, and she's got to do one on Stalin. Well, hold on. She's got to do one on Stalin, Hitler, and I forget which other idiot. And then I pulled out the book that I had, that little red book that I had, How to Rule the World as Being a Dictator. My daughter saw it. She just died laughing. I said, Mija, that's good source material. And it was given to me as a birthday present. What is it? Ah! Oh, my God, Matt. You're being abusive now. Don't ever say that.
Oh, geez, now I got to look in the chat room. I'm not even going to comment on that.
And I don't care. If I want to comment on that, I'll just have Joke Night and bring AJ on. Yeah, AJ's rough. Now I've got, apparently my daughter's classmates, all those teenagers.
Listen to
you? Yeah, they listen. They listen to Joke Night.
Oh.
And apparently the teenagers want to do a Joke Night. Oh, my God.
It would be dangerous.
Yeah, even my daughter's sound would be dangerous. And they're all
contributing to a delinquency of a minor.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But it's Joke Night, that's all it is. But apparently they're getting together and they think they want to do one. I'm like, oh.
Well, see, the question would be...
They all have great voices.
Will it be rated maggot?
Will you be... What?
You said it should be rated maggot.
No, it'll be rated teen.
Well, what I was going to say is, are you going to be here when they do? Oh, then,
no, I'll be here.
No, will you be in the studio when they're doing this?
My daughter will be here, but they're probably all going to call in.
Oh, okay.
I have to moderate it somehow.
That's what I was going to say, because if you're actually here in the studio while it's going on,
I'll die.
Then jokes won't be that bad. But if you're not in the studio and say she's running it with a couple of her friends, then it could get a little racy.
That's what I'm going for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So, and apparently, when we had my daughter's birthday last week, there were some other people that were listening to my program, surprisingly, and they were saying, Raj, when are you going to do another joke night? I'm like, oh, my God, that's the night I fear the most, and people are asking me for it. It's like, oh. So I can't tell AJ that people are asking for him. I can't ever admit it.
Call him.
Yeah, I know you will.
Actually, I haven't talked to him for a little bit.
Yeah, it's been a little bit. So we're going to continue, ladies and gentlemen. We have some more sports news because the big dog has quite a bit. What's the Mike Wallace stuff that you have right there? Sorry, skip that. Crap, go on.
Oh, Miami and free agent receiver Mike Wallace are negotiating a 5-year deal with an agreement that says it's very, very likely to occur. So according to the free agent, the Dolphins have also reached an agreement with the Baltimore Ravens free agent linebacker Daniel Ellerbe. Ellerbe's deal is worth $35 million over 5 years, according to the Baltimore Sun. Ellerbe was a Ravens best defensive player by the end of the team's Super Bowl run. This season he finished second on the team in tackles. He had 89 and sacks of 4.5. To make way for the new acquisitions, the Dolphins released linebacker Carlos Dansby. Carlos with a K.
What a shock.
Former Arizona Cardinal, and so he might be heading back to Arizona because I know they liked him and they didn't really want to get rid of him when they did.
Carlos with a K. Oh,
yep.
My God. Talk about a mama that's never going to be anything in life. Wow. Think about it. Why do parents name their children that way because they figure they're never going to be anything, so might as well have the kids be something.
Well,
let them be known for misspelling.
Well, or just giving them a bad name. You know, like I've always said, the worst football name of all time, because you know he got his butt kicked every single day of his life growing up till he was big enough to beat him up back, was, of course, Marion Butt.
Oh, that's right.
First of all, you're a laughing butt. That's bad enough. And then you go and name your son Marion. I mean, maybe the mom was in love with John Wayne, because anybody who knows their stars knows that John Wayne's real name was Marion.
Actually, there are quite a few
Marion. But to name the kid Marion Butt, you know the kid got his butt kicked going from elementary school all the way till he became the football player that he became. You know? So...
yeah, that sucks, Marion Butt.
Marion Butt.
And I'm sure he
did,
too.
I went to school with a guy by the name of Richard Head. I did, I swear. I'm not even joking. That's true. That's a true story.
That was like...
See, I want to thank my mama, because she thought long and hard about my name. She really did. She said, if I name them this, they're going to go, you know, whatever. She actually, my name was actually going to be Ishmael. No, it was Ishmael. That would have been Ishmael, yes.
That would have been growing up.
Yes, but she thought of all through, and then my father steps in and says, no, we haven't had a Roger live in this family for 300 years, so I'm going to name him Roger. Actually, Rogelio. And
so are you Rogelio on your birth certificate?
I am Rogelio. Yes, Rogelio.
And every time I put your name in...
Is Royer?
As Roger, yeah. It always asks to just...
Bullshit.
Spell checker always comes out as R-O-D-G-E-R.
No. You have a hick spell check, that's why.
So, I don't know, talk to Brian.
No, it's a perverted one.
That was funny. That was a good retort. I have a hick spell check. Talk to Brian. That was good. I like that. Ladies and gentlemen, so that's why... In my family, three Rogelios have died very young, and my father says, nope. Oh, and also, Daniels have died. So my father was like, oh, no. We're going to name this guy Rogelio Daniel. Like, damn it, you were tempting fate.
Coffee says, no, the worst name for a guy who played was the guy who played for the
Browns. Ben Gay.
His name was Ben Gay. that's like the Timberwolves are. Well, now he's with Toronto, I believe. Rudy Gay.
Okay, yeah, but Ben Gay, yeah. Oh my
God, Ben Gay. Ben Gay has been around for so long. That guy got ripped all through high school.
Yeah, Ben Gay.
And of course, back in the day, Gay was just you were happy until around the 50s. Then it turned into something else.
Yeah.
Late
well, it was, the word gay still means what it means, but it's become derisive in its use.
Yeah.
You're just happy. That's what gay means.
I mean, a gay old time.
Yeah. Oh, and if you ever read the original Lord of the Rings. Yeah, you're funny. In the Lord of the Rings, the books, all you get are gay and queer. Those are the words that J.R.R. Tolkien is in love with. Gay and queer.
The books were written so long ago.
Well, they're written in correct English, that's why. And everyone says, oh, that's old English. No, it's correct English, you dumbasses.
So,
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
And what if Bugs
Bunny
say?
Are you saying gay people stole the word gay?
There might be some connotations in there that I am willing to accept and maybe not accept. I have to think about that. No, they didn't steal the word. It was actually stolen and forced upon them. It was. It was forced upon them because it was a derisive term. The word meant, hey, you know, happy, and then it was, you know, it was used to ridicule them.
And, of course, coffee has come up with more Cocoa Crisp.
Yeah.
And, of course, Milton Bradley.
Oh, I know Milton Bradley.
Those aren't bad names. I mean, Cocoa Crisp, okay, yeah.
Milton, well, you know Robinson Cano, the Yankees second baseman?
Shut up. Personally.
You're in it. No, Robinson Cano, the Yankee second baseman, his name Robinson is due to number 42. His parents named him in honor of Jackie Robinson.
And then he played baseball.
Yeah.
And he's second base, isn't he?
Second base for the Yankees.
He's close to Robinson Caruso.
Very.
Now you're an ass.
Great.
Glad to be part of the team.
Weird though that his parents did that, and you know he ended up playing second base at professional baseball.
That is, yeah, that is.
Yeah. Since you are the scorekeeper, I have a question. Baseball
sucks for you though, guys.
Is there anyone still wearing the number 42?
Yeah.
No.
There's only one player, right?
There is only one player because he was grandfathered in. I don't even know if he's a grandfather yet.
Who is that?
Mariano Rivera.
Oh, okay.
So he is the last player that is wearing 42 and will ever be allowed to wear 42.
Now, here is another question. On your opinion, were you...
Yes, it is derisive for you to use Barney when Matt is in.
No, it's not. Were you...
Buddy, I'm the one that chose Barney. Now blame me Big Dog on it.
Were you okay with the fact that they retired 42 throughout the league?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it. Now, in deference to Tanya Mercado, who believes that they should do the same thing for Roberto Clemente...
No. He wasn't around long enough.
He wasn't around long enough. We're not talking about Thurman Munson, dude. We're talking about Roberto Clemente. And everything that he's done, I believe that he should not have his number retired.
I don't think so either, because... Yeah, he was a great player for his, you know, and represented his country well, you know, while he was here, while he was alive. But he didn't do what Jackie Robinson. I mean, Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier. I mean, he withstood so much persecution, so much things that he had to go through that we didn't find out until decades later all the crap that he went through that we know Cepeda did not go through.
Yeah. And, you know, I will give it to the Dodgers because the Dodgers at first, they had pigs on their team too. I forget when it happened, but they went into a hotel and, you know, they said, Dodgers, yeah, he can check in. And the Dodgers, when it finally happened, they said, well, we're not checking in either. And they lost a lot of money.
Yeah, it took a lot of guts by Walter O'Malley. It was Ben Walter, right? At the time.
No, it was Ricky Brandt. Or Branch Rickey.
Was he on there?
Brandt? No, he was the general manager, Branch Rickey.
No, but I'm saying Walter O'Malley was still the owner at the time. Yeah, because it was Brooklyn, so he still would have been the owner. So I'm just saying it took a lot of guts for him because, you know, that okay had to come from him. So, okay, you know, the GM took all the heat, but it had to come from, you know, hey, we want to show team unity, so we're not going to, any place that doesn't accept Jackie, we don't want to go either. Walter O'Malley had to say okay to that. So he could have said, this is what we're going to say. You know, he can find somewhere else. But no, he agreed, and he was the one, of course, that pushed for the color barrier to be broken, which was great.
And sure enough, the Yankees, being the pigs that they are, they were the last team to integrate.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
and they didn't even integrate someone of pure descent. They integrated a Latino.
Oh,
this bastard.
Really? I didn't know that. Right?
Yeah, that's not a proud moment in Yankee history. The Yankees were the last one. And even then...
I was going to say, even when they did that, they weren't very happy with it. It just goes to show, a Yankee's always a Yankee.
Yes, sir.
Proper name.
Yeah. Yeah, they were rat bastards. Yeah, so...
Damn.
There's a little bit of history there, you go, kiddies. You get it all on Sports Talk with the Guys. That was our Klingon, slingshot back in time. I had to get my Star Trek in here.
Yeah, I know.
Even though you did the nasty picture. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
It was an honor.
Make it so.
It was an honor.
You like that one.
It was an honor, J.J. Abrams.
You see, that's Picard's line. Make it so.
Well, see, that's why he says, you know, Abrams is my bitch now. Make it so.
And those that have not seen the picture won't get that.
That's right. That's right. And the funniest thing that I saw was when Darth Vader was kind of like had a knee down and he's looking at Mickey and Mickey's holding out his hand like a dance. Goes, who's your daddy now? That was funny.
Matt has a question. I believe so, Matt, but I'm not positive. I will check right now with scorekeeper.
What?
You want to know if there's a Jackie Robinson movie coming out? I could have sworn there was a big budget movie about Jackie coming out.
Yeah, every few years there's a movie. Yeah.
But I mean, big, I mean, major screen, not TV or.
I believe so.
Yeah, I believe it's supposed to be coming out, I think, next year.
Coming
Matt.
Out. It will debut sometime next year.
Sometime next year or 2015. I'm really not quite sure.
IMDb.com. Look up Jackie Robinson.
Oh, gosh, yeah, they're probably loaded with stuff.
Yeah, they always have all that stuff there.
Well, of course, Coffee got on me. Clemente wasn't around long enough?
Yeah, I know, dude. That's what I'm like, no.
The guy even got 3,000 hits.
Yeah. Thank you, Coffee.
I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, yes. But as far as retiring his number, no.
Well, the Pirates haven't retired.
Well, that's
but
for, I mean,
he wants it retired
them.
Around
no,
the league.
No, he hasn't. I'm sorry. He didn't do enough.
Whoa. He did quite a bit.
For the league?
And the Roberto. We already have the Roberto Clemente Award, which is the that's the humanitarian
yeah.
player.
Well, hold on. I'm going to stand up for the brown man, okay? I'm going to stand up for the brown man. I mean,
are you sure you're not going to be blocking out the brown man?
No. If you think about it, okay, there's only really Cinco de Mayo. You guys get screwed. I mean, there's no Latino month like Black History Month, right? So you guys are getting
actually,
screwed out
is.
Of a month. There is?
Yeah. There is Hispanic. I think it's in November or something.
Boy,
it's
they
in November
really don't
or
publicize
May.
It, or I thought I would have known about it. You
Dude,
know,
every freaking weekend.
Well,
every freaking
weekend. Cinco de Mayo is
Dude, okay, wait.
I mean, the Latinos,
you guys.
Also, now we don't give it to, you know, Clemente. You know, he's a Latino. I mean, it just seems like, you know, they're trying to keep the brown man down. I believe that, too. I believe that. So you get Jackie Robinson. They got Black History Month and Jackie Robinson. Well, if there is a Latino month, it's not very well publicized. I would have known about it. And now, you know, no Roberto Clemente. Hey, the next time, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to be down with the Brown. I'm going to, on Cinco de Mayo, I'm going to go down to the Home Depot and hang out all day.
Now, that was derisive, you dumbass.
Sorry. I'm just saying, I'm down with the Brown. You guys are just getting screwed right and left. I believe that.
Couch.
Wait a minute, what Brown?
Couch, you know over in TJ, right, that they have a training facility down there?
Sure,
yeah. Yeah, it's a mock Home Depot. It's just a facade, and they teach them where to stand in front of it so they can get jobs when they come over here.
Horrible. That was told as a joke by a certain comedian. I forget who it is.
Of Hispanic descent.
Of Hispanic descent, because he was apparently on vacation in Baja California. No, not George Lopez, but it was.
Mencia.
It could have been Mencia, and he was down there in La Paz, Baja California. And he was going over to Home Depot, and they just said Home Depot, and it was a facade. Which I was impressed that Carlos Mencia understood what facade means, but. And he says, "Well, that's right. They have an office over in Glendale." And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that very same Home Depot is the one that we used to punk on the Daily 15. That's the very. That was just the luck of the draw, guys. That was the very same Home Depot that we used to punk on the Daily 15. So if Coffee remembers, when Commodore called in and asked, what is the best tile that we can use to cover up a rotting body? And they told us. That was classic. Oh, my God.
Coffee put in the chat room, IMDb. It is a movie called 42. It is a Jackie Robinson story. It's supposed to be out this year. It does not say when this year, but sometime this year. Probably towards the end of the year. He also says the Irish don't celebrate St. Patrick's Day and Mexicans don't celebrate Cinco de Mayo. He says it's all U.S. bullshit.
Whoa, wait.
Hold on, I thought Cinco de Mayo was the Mexican
and
Independence Day.
And I know they celebrate St. Patrick's Day because my ex-sister-in-law
huh?
was married to a Irish man, and boy, they celebrate. They know how to drink. They drink better than Mexicans do.
Wait, your ex-sister-in-law?
Yes.
Is not ex yet?
Ah, shut up. Yes, she is.
No, she's not.
Yes, she is.
No, you're still married.
I know.
Yeah, damn you.
She's still my ex.
Yeah, no, you're still married, so she's not sure. You're talking about Norma, right?
No, no, Rita.
Rita.
I have a sister.
No, no, I don't care. Okay, let's continue.
No. Yeah, you did.
No, that's kind of like meeting Satan and Beelzebub at the same time.
She was there before I was?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't pay attention to that one.
Yeah, no. Rita, when he was...
Yeah, all right. And you guys, hold on.
And they drink.
Let me explain to you.
Yes, they
do. Let me explain to you about the thing of Cinco de Mayo. The Battle of Puebla was fought, on May 5th, and when news arrived to Southern California, it was about May 17th of that year, and it was a big victory over the French. You know, a long-standing, 200-year thing where the French just lose every war.
The French give up.
Yes, I know. They lose every war. I mean, if the Mexicans beat the shit out of them, what the hell is that going to tell you? So they celebrated here in L.A. It took about 2 weeks for the news to get here, and they immediately threw a Cinco de Mayo celebration here in Southern California, commemorating that battle, because at that time, Southern California was still Mexico. So it is celebrated here in Southern California, because it's been from day one celebrated here in Southern California. We're celebrating the victory over the French. And it's just stayed here. In the rest of Mexico, Cinco de Mayo? Oh, that's the tocayos from up north, man. So it's not really celebrated in Mexico proper. It is a Southern California thing, Cinco de Mayo. And that's all it is. It's just another excuse for us to get together and have a picnic, have a good time, and drink. That's what we do. We like picnics.
I love the way you throw the accent on that as well.
It wasn't even a Mexican accent either.
Picnics.
Oh, shut up.
Not picnics, it's picnics. I love it. That's great.
Yeah, and see...
And we won't describe what the word picnic actually means.
Yes.
I don't think I want to know.
No, you don't. The way it's used by the South is not a good way.
And of course, before you go to your Cinco de Mayo party, you have to go to Target. You have to go driving in your Chevy, and you go and buy some new shoes and some Charmin, and with your wife Chata.
Oh, look, we got someone in the chat room. They finally figured out that they should get themselves a brand new ID. It is still the same dumbass as last time. It doesn't take very much to recognize it. Yeah,
old Moxie.
Dude. No, don't say the name of it, because he's just a dumbass. You can tell by the tones and the way he's saying this stuff. Get the hell out of here. Dude, why don't you go find yourself, someone to go play with.
Kick him out, Matt. Kick him out.
Yeah, get out of here.
Sorry, Matt. You're getting rid of him right now.
Yeah, sorry, dude. I apologize. That guy has no life, or whatever he is, or she is. We know who it is.
Oh, yeah. He used to come
in
the chat rooms all the time. Is that the same guy?
Yeah, I'm trying to come up with a name.
Yeah, well, look, he...
And we won't even give the name.
Yeah, he came up with a new name. That's why I saw it away and I saw the insult.
Yeah, send him to a private couch so he knows the name.
What was the old name? Come on, tell me what it was, because my brain isn't very good.
Pastor Pat,
that's right. God, that's a flash from the past. My gosh.
He went away for a while, I think.
Oh, well, because he lost his ID like AJ.
Oh boy.
As many channels that I've had, AJ has lost. What?
Maggot lost his ID?
He's lost. Couch Potato, it's rumored I have 192 radio channels.
He's lost 193 names.
Yeah.
He's been working hard on keeping this one, though.
Yeah.
Although, as of late, it's kind of slipping.
Yeah, so it's okay, ladies and gentlemen. We're just used to that. Oh, my God! Oh, no! I'm so sorry!
Oh, you didn't know?
Oh, no.
Your ass better call somebody!
Oh, that reminds me. Hey, before we go to Cuervo... You know the New Age Outlaws have been on WWE, and they cut your ass. They cut the ass in the promo. Oh, unbelievable. But we got the original. You better call. So your ass better call someone. It's Cuervo. Hey, Cuervo.
Scorekeeper, you got some splitting to do.
He doesn't want to say anything. He's trying to be he's apologetic. He's actually cowering in the corner.
He's in the corner shaking.
13 minutes, hey. Couch Potato.
13 minutes. Oh man. Talk about some D-I-S-R-E-S-B-F. How do you say it?
I only have the big dog as a witness. I am sorry, Cuervo. I am sorry, Cuervo. And I am sorry, Cuervo.
Hey, in case you didn't know, Cuervo, he's sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. Should I buy a couch potato? I don't know if I should buy it.
I don't know. Not sure. Speaking of that, Cuervo, do you want to do a show after this? I'm open today or no?
I know you would have done the same thing to me. And you have before.
All right, hold on. There. I've taken a knee, Cuervo. I'm sorry.
He's T-bowing.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm just
taking
a knee. I
want to see the pictures.
I'm taking a knee, but I'm not doing the T-ball. Hell no.
Thank God, don't do that, please.
Yeah, I took a knee, but I didn't T-ball. I'm not going to do that, but it's okay. Cuervo, I looked over the switchboard like this. I saw 13
yeah,
minutes.
I heard you.
Yeah, you heard me? I'm sorry, Cuervo. Because I did. I looked over the switchboard, and I saw 13 minutes, 28 seconds, and I saw the phone number. So Cuervo heard me. I was like, I'm so sorry, Cuervo.
Hey, it's all good. And, you know, that means that you guys are putting on a great show, and sometimes you just, you know, you get caught up in the conversation. So I had fun listening, though.
Nah, he just saw you and just didn't feel like putting you on.
Oh, you're an ass. You're an ass.
Yeah, so I'm starting to believe that, you know, that conspiracy.
Come to the dark side.
Conspiracy Cuervo is coming out.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, Cuervo, you were never into conspiracies now. Now I have to tell you that the couch potato has had a bad influence on you.
Bad, but sometimes it could be a good thing. For example, you know, waiting for 13 minutes, but it's all good.
There you go.
All right. Big Dog, please tell us why the Hall of Fame is going to be honoring Dr. Frank Jobe.
Well, it's kind of obvious. I mean, he, of course, is the father figure inventor of
the long-term contract.
The Tommy John surgery, of course.
Yeah.
Way back in the day, I believe it was 1974, was the first time it was ever performed on Tommy John.
73.
Of course, the original part was he removed a tendon from Tommy John's forearm.
On his right.
And repaired it to his elbow. And, of course, since then, it has prolonged so many players, period, over the years doing this type of surgery. It was innovative at the time. It was groundbreaking at the time. And the Hall of Fame is going to honor him this year. Special like honorary mention. And Dr. Frank Jobe will be there. He is in his late 80s, but he will be there. And of course, he is still a consultant for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Tommy John is a left-handed pitcher. He was generally a fireballer, and he became known for being one of the better sinker ball pitchers of all time. His numbers are, quite frankly, good, but unfortunately, they are not Hall of Fame numbers. No. He won 287 career victories, but his ERA is rather high, and they're better than Jack Morris, though.
He finished.
Oh, here we go.
Did he finish with you guys? Did he not?
Yes, and I saw his last game. I saw when he was pulled out of the game.
He was in his mid to late 40s, was he not?
No, he was in his early 40s. I think he was 43 or 44.
That's mid-40s.
So anyway, but not late-40s. You see, and Cuervo's just sitting there saying, you know, these guys are fighting over if they're 40s, and I don't care.
That's because Cuervo's in his 20s. Yeah.
Trust me, you'll get there before you know it.
Yep. And then you, then you'll go, what the hell happened?
Exactly.
I'm already 30, guys.
Yeah, I know, but we still respect you. We still see you as a youngin.
If you want to know the truth, all I keep thinking about is 13 minutes and 40 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, the fish is getting bigger now. It was 13 minutes and 28 seconds.
Now it's 40.
Yeah, now it's 40.
Well, it's not like that.
Oh, he's on that 6-second tape. They're like, cut it out.
What was it?
13, 28 seconds? 13:28. Shut up, big dog. Now it's 48
seconds. Love in this room. You got to love it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're having a good time. But the thing with Frank Job is, as the big dog said, he removed it on the forearm on his right arm and then implanted it over to the left arm because Tommy John was a lefty. No one had ever done it. They'd only dreamed of it. This was the stuff of the Twilight Zone where the Dodger manager sold his soul to get the robot pitchers. This is something that had never been done, and now it is so commonplace that...
That outfielders are getting it now.
Outfielders are getting it, and no one even knows who Frank Job is. That is unbelievable.
Yeah, because now it's Dr. James Andrews and Curlin.
And quite a few others.
Yes, there's a lot.
That's funny. The doctor will get in for naming a surgery after a pitcher, but the pitcher doesn't get in the Hall of Fame, but the doctor does. Hmm.
Yeah, but look at how many
people. That's kind of funny.
Look how many Hall of Famers the doctor has saved.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's good. Oh, Matt. Big dog, you like having my name coming out of your mouth.
Okay.
One day we'll meet. Oh, hell yeah. Ooh. Out of the province. And the big dog puts up his arms like he's innocent. Whatever. There you go.
Every time he does it, it's just another spade in the dirt for Matt.
Yeah. Hey, Cuervo, this was before the 13 minutes and 28 seconds. I have to reestablish that. We were talking about a lot of the NFL signings, and I know you're up on it. Which is the one that surprised you the most? The one that really got me was Wes Welker leaving the Patriots and going over to, Denver. Or the Seattle signings. They've been showing a lot of stuff. Or Fitzpatrick being let loose. Give us some comments on it, pal.
He's going to make you wait 13 minutes and 48 seconds.
Oh, God, this is going to be lame.
Take yourself off of me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that towards me? All right, so your question is, what signing surprised me the most, right?
Yeah.
I would have to say the trade for Percy Harvin to Seattle. I think that shocked me the most. Not that I didn't know Seattle needed a wide receiver, but for them to reach out and get a guy that's had health problems in the past, That kind of surprised me a little bit, guy, and especially because what Seattle gave up to get Percy Harvin, I think, and this is personally, guys, I think Seattle gave up a little too much for a guy that missed half of the season last week and has had a long history of migraines and things like that, and he misses a lot of time. So you got to ask yourself, is Seattle really getting their money's worth getting Percy Harvin on their roster?
True. What do you think about Baltimore blowing up the team pretty much?
I think they've written themselves a death sentence. Some guys I can understand you give up. Okay, guys like Anquan Boldin, maybe they feel he's not going to be productive anymore. But to let guys like Ellerby and Kruger just go the way they did, and possibly even Ed Reed, who's talking to the Houston Texans right now, it kind of, scorekeeper, and I'm going to make a baseball comparison here, it kind of feels like what the Marlins did in the past, where they win a championship, and they just completely let the whole team just decimate. I mean, I don't know if you get the same, if you have the same comparison, but to me, that's what it feels like, what the Baltimore Ravens are doing. And, you know, you, when you look at it, you kind of have to blame Joe Flacco.
Oh, wow. You have to blame Flacco. That's interesting. That's another one. It's a hell of a comparison. I think it's appropriate. The only thing, while you were saying that, Cuervo, was I pointed out to the big dog that it didn't only happen once. It happened twice with Miami, yeah. That they won in 03, no, in 97 they blew up the team, and then 03 they blew up the team again. That was clearly abhorrent what they did, and now Baltimore is doing it.
And, of course, Mark Cuban did it 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, Mark Cuban did it because he saw a free agent year coming up.
Yeah, now it's another free, now it's two free agent years, and now it's going to be three free agent years that he saw coming up. But his,
so he's just a sucky guy.
Well, no, he expected everybody to, oh, let's go to Dallas. No one cares.
Oh, by the way, time out here. Cuervo, the big dog was lording it over me just a moment ago when the big dog asked you a question. You responded, Emily Post. There was no missing a beat. You just answered right away. But when I asked you a question, you stalled for like 13 minutes and 28 seconds. That was not lost on me or the big dog.
Oh, so now you're going to focus on me, scorekeeper.
Yeah, well, it's okay. The big dog is still lording it over me. I mean, he's got a... remember that Cheshire cat smile that he has?
Yes. That sounds
about right. The couch potato nose, especially when the little girls came over to visit us, the cowgirls from the
He was doing that the whole time I was out on Fremont, where there was no one. It was like a ghost town, and I missed the chicks.
Yeah, you missed the Dixie chicks.
Well, next this time when we go to Vegas, it'll be scorekeeper out there looking for people.
I was another time on the college game day, and I was getting a lot of women flashing me. Because I said, oh, so which team are you going for? And they all like, can't you see? I'm like, oh, thank you for the free look, ladies. Those tank tops look nice. Oh, by the way, it says your team right there. Cool. I didn't notice. I've been flashed by all ages. That was fun. But yes, Cuervo, it has not been lost. I mean, thank you very much.
No worries.
And no answer. Did you notice how long he took for that one?
I'm on mute, guys. I'm actually driving.
Yeah. You're on mute, but you instantly responded to the big dog.
Well, I mean, because, you know, what happened was, no, I'm kidding. No, I mean, it was just a quick question.
Oh, that was good. Even I missed it. That's why I was like, all right, whatever. Oh, my God. All right. I didn't see that one coming.
Scorekeeper, you know what I think the problem is? You still haven't gotten over when we first met, and I pretty much stabbed you in the back. When we first met.
He hasn't gotten over that.
I don't think he has, Sonny. I think he's still, you know, and I think that's why he makes me wait for 13 minutes.
Whatever. No, what I can't get over, and this is a real stab at Couch Potato, was the day when he announced you on his program and Couch Potato said, yes, the talent that I discovered. And I roiled my chair, and I was like, oh, the big dog.
And I knew he was listening, too. That's why I did it.
Oh, my God. We were on air, Cuervo, and when the Couch Potato introduced you as, yes, my co-host, the man of this program, the man that I discovered, oh, my God, I threw such a hissy fit right here in the office. I thought, oh, my God, I damned the Couch Potato like there was no tomorrow. The big dog was
Well, that sounds like you and the couch potato have a bone to pick with each other, huh?
Oh, it's a big bone, let me tell you. We're still gnawing at that one. So you just represent that bone that needs to be picked.
There we go.
Well, be very private with it, okay?
Yeah, I know. We will.
But, if it's in the area. Let's be a little careful.
That's true. That's true, we will. But again, guys, that's what is so cool about this, that even though we're on, like, almost the four corners of the United States, we all have met at least one. I can't wait till we all sit down again in the future to do a program. I can't wait. Could you imagine?
Man, I was bummed I didn't get up to Chicago to where I could spend time with Cuervo. They didn't put me up in a hotel, so I couldn't go.
Well, maybe we have to go over to Pierre Cuervo in his backyard over in Chicago. But I know you have some additional stories there, Big Dog, because I get the hint. No, you picked up your papers and you did this. You straightened them out. I know, but that's a hint and a half for me to get back on track. So let's continue.
Well, here comes the big hint when he starts pointing at the news.
He's close. But it's because the Big Dog does his homework, because I sure as hell don't do it anymore. Go ahead.
Well, let's switch over to basketball.
Where are you going to take us now, Big Dog?
I just told you.
Oh, okay.
Of course, some of the big news, there's lots of news going on in the NBA. The biggest one probably is that the Heat are on a major, major roll. They have now won 21 in a row. Yes. They are only the fourth team to ever win 20 games or more. The 1970-71 Bucks won 20. Of course, now the Heat have won 21. The 2007-2008 Houston Rockets have won 22. And, of course, the record held by my very own Los Angeles Lakers, 71-72, of course, that was 33 games in a row.
Wow.
Don't know if there's anybody that can stop these guys right now with the Heat. I kind of laughed yesterday when I saw an article saying Boston is not impressed by their winning streak. You know?
That's stupid.
21 in a row is impressive no matter who you are. I mean, I'm not a Heat fan by any means. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows I'm not a LeBron fan at all. But I give some credit where credit is due, and the Heat are on a major, major roll at the right time. It's close to the end of the season. Like I said, they won 21 in a row. I haven't seen their schedule, so in fact, I'm going to take a look to see who they have coming up next that could possibly break that streak, which, of course, I'm hoping, because if it gets close to 33 in a row, I'm going to have to fly or go out somewhere in Miami, and I have to run one of those guys over because, you know, I don't want them to break my schedule.
Oh, so like what the Yankee fans did to Ollie Joyner in 1986 when he came to New York, they found a switchblade near first base?
Did everybody...
Someone threw a switchblade at Wally Joyner.
That.
What was Wally Joyner about ready to break?
He was just having a great rookie season.
Oh.
He ended up with 22 home runs in the season, but by the All-Star break, he had 17. And Don Mattingly was the first baseman at the time,
okay, yeah.
So the Yankee fans were unhappy. Don Mattingly went on to win the MVP in 85, when he went on to lose the batting title to Wade Boggs in 86 when Wally Joyner was there. But Wally Joyner was a phenom. Remember Wally World in 1986.
Back with the Heat, they have not lost a game since February 1st. And that was to the Indiana Pacers. So since Sunday, February 3rd, they have not lost a game. Let's see. They have Boston coming up. That would be win number 21. Boston, they would be going, if they beat Toronto tomorrow, then they have Boston on Monday. So at the back-to-back in Boston, that could be a tough game for them. After that, God, they don't have another tough opponent until, maybe Cuervo's Chicago team. That would be win number, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. That would be win number 28 they would be going for if they were to get to that point in Chicago.
Right.
Win number 30, if they can get to that, will be against San Antonio in San Antonio.
Is that we're still talking about that?
I hope not, because, Bill Sharman, who was coach of the 72 Lakers that won those 33 in a row, says that they have the capability to win more than 33 in a row. So coming from Bill Sharman, that's something to say. So we'll see what's going to happen with them. The other big news, of course, out in Lakerland, Kobe Bryant severely sprained his ankle on Wednesday.
That was a bad dream.
And I actually I had a friend of mine, a person that you did taxes for just a few weeks ago, as labor man or tax man. Anyway, he tweeted me a picture of Kobe Bryant's ankle sprain. He had about the size of a tennis elbow, size of a tennis ball on the side of his ankle. I mean, it was humongous. And, of course, the Lakers said he was out indefinitely. Now, of course, anybody that knows Kobe Bryant over these past 17 years knows the guy's a machine, you know. I'm not the biggest Kobe fan, you know, but he is one of the greatest players of all time. But this guy's a machine. He is supposed to be out indefinitely. This was Wednesday night. They worked on him 24/7, or 24 for about 36 straight hours. Gary Beatty was there working on his ankle. And on Friday, against the Indiana Pacers, a huge game for the Lakers yesterday, Kobe Bryant started. Of course, he didn't score. He was 0-for-4, and every one of his shots was short, which, of course, means you're not getting enough lift off your ankles and knees. Of course, that was a big, big problem. Of course, since you have a bad ankle, you can't get the lift. He only took 4 shots. They were all short. Scored no points. First time in 9 years that he didn't score in a game. And played the entire first quarter, and then that was it. He was done for the day. So he did not play. But the Lakers pulled together. This was actually a good thing. Lakers pulled together, had an incredible game, and actually beat the Indiana Pacers in Indiana, which is very hard to do. And, of course, Indiana is the second-best team right now in the East. So this was a game I was expecting to really lose looking at the schedule. We should have beat Atlanta, which was the game that Kobe got hurt in. Of course, Kobe was very mad that no foul was called on the play. And it was anybody watching the game on Wednesday, I'm looking for who it was. Dante Jones. The game was tight on the line. We were down by 3, or down by 2, I believe. And Kobe went up for a shot. And as he went up, he kind of was floating to the left. And he was drifting to the left as he was shooting. Dante Jones, who was taking him defensively, kept on going and kind of walked under Kobe as Kobe was in the air. So when Kobe came down, he came down on his leg, on Dante Jones' foot, completely rolled his ankle, and no foul was called.
That's a foul. He made contact.
After the game was over and the referees and the NBA looked into this, because Kobe was extremely angry about that, which of course he always is, but what he was really angry about was that when he was on the floor and writhing in pain and his teammates picked him up, the referee said, call Gary Vitti over to take a look at Kobe. Now, anybody that knows the NBA rules, of course, I'm not as good as you, Sparky, but I know a lot of the rules.
You know the rules in the NBA. I know the rules in baseball.
Well, the NBA rule is if the trainer comes out on the floor before the timeout is called, that player is not allowed back in the game. The player is gone. So by the referee calling,
that's different.
It doesn't matter. There was no timeout called. It is the referee's fault for doing that, but still the rule applies. So Kobe was mad because Gary Vitti came out to take a look at him, and then when he got up and started walking to continue trying to play again, the ref was like, no. The trainer came out. You're out of the game. You cannot play anymore.
Now, that doesn't apply because it's the ref.
It did apply because the ref would not allow it, and neither would the other refs. The refs were like, we're sorry. He made a mistake by calling him in, but the rules are this. Yes, it is the referee's fault, but the referee does not have the authority to call him in and change that rule.
But he did.
He doesn't have the authority to let Kobe play. He had the authority to call him in because he thought Kobe was you know, completely injured, maybe broken ankle or something like that. Maybe the ref figured, oh, Kobe's out of the game anyway, so I'll have the trainer look at him rather than wait. So Kobe was extremely angry, and he sat on the scorer's table because there was only about 3 seconds left. He sat on the scorer's table, John at the ref, saying, you know, I guess pretty much not yelling, but extremely agitated, because, of course, he has those technicals. He's real close to getting suspended. Probably telling the ref, what are you doing calling him in for? I wasn't ready to leave the game. It's not your call to have me get out of the game.
See? That's why the ref actually kicked him out of the game.
Yeah, kind of.
That's, no, he
so,
did.
So it was reviewed, and I believe the referee was reprimanded for doing that, and also the NBA ruled that, yes, a foul should have been called, and it wasn't. Now, if the foul was called, we would have only been down by a point instead of the 2 points, 3 points that we were down by, and, of course, we missed the next shot. We fouled him. You know, they made the two free throws. So, you know, that was a game changer for us. We lost the game. But that was really interesting that happened. And Kobe, of course, is now, of course, one more time, a game-time decision for Sunday when we come back home. But Gary Vee, I'll give him that. I mean, to get Kobe ready enough to even try and play, I mean, just kind of shows this kind of trainer that he is. Sorry to...
Well, no, not at all. I appreciate that. Couch Potato, any comments on that?
That was a wonderful commentary.
Well, you know, from what I heard, he didn't actually give his foot on the way down. And I watched it. I didn't see him get his foot either. But here's the thing. Kobe Bryant, like I said last week, there are only about five, maybe six, seven players in the NBA that are even worth watching. One of them is Kobe. But the problem with Kobe Bryant is that they let him get away with this kind of stuff. You know, guess what? Kobe, first of all, you're not a ref. Second of all, you know, just because you say something doesn't make it golden. You know, I've got a problem with Kobe Bryant just because that the media and other people in the NBA have allowed him to say whatever he wants to say. And just because he says it doesn't mean that that's what happened. If you go back and look at the film, he didn't stand up. He didn't fall on his foot. Second of all, the player was out of position defensively, yes. But he did what every basketball player is taught to do. Get a hand in the face. That's exactly what ended up happening here. And here's another thing. They're bitching and moaning about him not coming back into the game. But guess what? He's out indefinitely. So, you know, what's the difference? I mean, it's mountains to molehill. And, yes, you know, it just seems to me that just because Kobe Bryant is Kobe Bryant, he... You know, people just break their legs to, oh, Kobe, you know, oh, it's Kobe, oh, it's Kobe. Kobe said, who gives a rat's fat ass who it is? That problem, that's the huge problem with the Lakers. That's the huge problem with Kobe. Kobe has too much influence on his team, and he also has too much influence in the NBA. Who cares that Kobe raised hell about it? Well, but Kobe gets a hold of the NBA offices about the situation. If I was on the other end of the phone, I'd say, Kobe, you need just to go or grow up and play the damn game and shut up. But that's just me.
Wow. But I'm a big rule stickler. So, by definition, seeing what happened, I would have appealed the game because the ref kicked Kobe out of the game.
Yeah, but no foul was called, though, so...
No. The ref
kicked
Kobe out of the game, and he does not have the authority to do so.
Well, yeah.
A scorekeeper. I mean, he's hurt. He's not playing. So, I'm missing it. I'm trying to find out what the big deal is about this.
No,
but the thing is, Couch, he did play the next game. He played yesterday.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he played the entire first quarter. They said he was out indefinitely, but he started. It's true he didn't score, but he still started the entire game. But going back to the Wednesday game, I was reporting what Kobe said about rolling the ankle. You're right. He didn't. He didn't land on top of Dante Jones, as Kobe said. But if you do look at the play, Dante Jones does get underneath him.
That's contact.
Which caused Kobe to fall. But there should have been a foul called. Even the NBA agreed that there should have been a foul called. But the whole thing about the ref calling Gary Vee over when he shouldn't have, and I understand the referee's mentality going, oh, God, he's hurt. Maybe he broke something. Then he gets the trainer out here to take a look at him instead of waiting for the timeout that I can't remember if they did or did not have.
Yeah.
So I understand that part. And then, of course, when Kobe gets up and he's ready to walk in to play, the ref, now, of course, this is just me now. The ref could have been saying, you know what, Kobe, I'm sorry. I called the trainer in, but these are the rules. I called the trainer in.
I didn't think you were going to come back. See, so by you see, that's where I'm saying the ref kicked Kobe out with, you know, the king didn't make the decision, the player didn't make the decision. By the referee doing this, he, in effect, kicked Kobe out, and that's where it should have been appealed.
But the we would have lost anyways, because, like I said...
You don't know.
Yes.
You'll never know.
No, yes, I do, because they had the ball. Remember, as I said, there was no foul call, so the ball went out of bounds, so the Atlanta Hawks got the ball back, so that we immediately fouled them, which caused them to make two more free throws with only a second and a half left now. Now we're down by five.
But you're assuming that they would get the free throws again, and if you replay the game from that point, you never know what could happen. You'll never know.
Well, yeah, we could have stole the ball, I guess you could say.
Yeah. But anyway, it is what it is.
Anyways.
Yeah.
And, of course, this one is for Scorekeeper.
Okay, make sure to get to Matt's comment about the wrestling stuff in a moment. But, yeah, what's this for me?
This is for you because you must have heard that you were – or they must have heard that you were in.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to wrest control of them, but AEG is no longer for sale. And, of course, Scorekeeper's favorite person, Tim Lewicki, is out.
Man, that guy has done it all.
The Anschutz company.
They're saying Anschutz.
Well, there's kind
of. Anschutz.
Yes, whatever. They're German. Who cares?
Achtung!
They announced Thursday they will retain ownership of the Anschutz Entertainment Group, otherwise known as AEG. AEG, of course, is owned by Denver billionaire Philip Anschutz.
Yeah, he said it right for the name of the company, and then he calls him incorrectly.
And its ownership interests include, of course, the LA Kings, the Stanley Cup champion LA Galaxy, the two-time defending MLS champions. They also have a portion of the Lakers that they own. They also own and operate the Staples Center, which is, of course, home to the Kings, Lakers, Clippers, and the Sparks.
How about the Home Depot Center?
And they also own the Home Depot Center, which, of course, is home to the Galaxy and Chivas USA. I said Tim Lewicki, who has served as president and CEO since 1996, will leave the company by mutual agreement. And so it's will, as chairman of AEG, will resume a more active role in the company, it says, with the particular position of president and CEO of AEG.
Oh, so he's not leaving?
No.
He's just removing from day-to-day?
No. Tim Lewicki's leaving. The billionaire owner he's taking a more active role again.
Wow.
It says here, though, that Dan Beckerman will assume the position of president and CEO of AEG. It says Beckerman joined AEG more than 15 years ago and previously served as chief financial officer and chief operating officer. Ted Frickrey, who joined AEG in 1997, will become vice chairman of the company and continue as AEG's chief legal and development officer, as well as assuming the responsibility for AEG's governmental and media relations.
Wow.
We appreciate the role Tim has played in the development of AEG and thank him for his many contributions that he made over the company. And, of course, the famous line, we wish him well on his new endeavors.
Oh!
He probably got his ass fired.
Yeah!
That's usually what you hear when they're let go that way. It's a mutual agreement, they say, but we wish him well in his future endeavors.
Okay, mutual agreement can stand for a lot.
Yeah.
But that's like the kiss of death.
Yeah, the future endeavors, yeah. That means you got your ass kicked out of here, but we're going to be nice.
That's a shame. Because he had a big hand in building that empire.
Yes. Yes.
You know, Tim Lewicki had the famous notebook, remember?
Yeah.
It was a spiral notepad, and he did everything off that spiral notepad.
It says that AEG, of course, was on...
our notebook.
Was for... I guess we'll go over. They were on sale for $8 billion, and no one was... the offers that were coming in were well below the $8 million asking price. It says Colony Capital was to be the front runner. After the Guggenheim partners, of course, they're one of the Dodgers, dropped out, and L.A. billionaire Patrick Soon-Shiong, which is who I believe is the doctor that bought Magic's shares, he's a billionaire, willing to offer the $8 billion asking price. So AEG now will stay AEG.
We will match the $8 billion asking price, provided we can pay a dollar a day.
That's a fair stipulation, is it not?
Oh, you mean the dollar a year that that former owner of the Los Angeles Lakers, of course, since he rest in peace, that was his deal with AEG. He pays $1 a year rent.
Okay, no, I'm willing to pay $1 a day, as is the NDB Media purchasing group. We'll pay $1 a day. We'll gladly pay. We'll match the $8 billion offer, provided they take $1 a day.
Woo-hoo. I get the interest on that, too?
No.
Well, there's shit that goes in. They probably would have took out until you said that.
All right. I'll pay the interest. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a Saturday morning. Thanks, Couch, Cuervo, Big Dog. I'm the scorekeeper. We're out of here.
Later, guys. Thanks a lot. Have fun. Be safe. Enjoy your sports.
See ya.